Welcome to episode 385 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson, 1010 Thrive. 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Many theories have been advanced, attempting to show that the resurrection of Jesus Christ was a fraud. At Easter time, it is not uncommon for specials to be aired on television, seeking to challenge the reality of the resurrection. Let's examine three of the more popular theories. First, the swoon theory. Jesus did not really die. He only swooned. Therefore, the disciples saw only a revived or resuscitated Christ. Christ was nailed to a cross and suffered from shock, pain, and loss of blood. But instead of actually dying, he only fainted or swooned from exhaustion. When he was placed in the tomb, he was still alive, and the disciples, mistaking him for dead, buried him alive. After several hours, he revived in the coolness of the tomb, arose, and departed. This theory completely ignores the evidence of his death and would require a greater miracle than the resurrection. According to this theory, the cool, damp air of the tomb, instead of killing him, healed him. He split out of his garments, pushed the stone away, fought off the guards, and shortly thereafter appeared to his disciples as the Lord of life. Luke 24, verse 12. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen wrappings only, and he went away to his home, marveling at that which had happened. John 25, verse 5 to 8. And stooping and looking in, he saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Simon Peter, therefore, also came following him and entered the tomb, and he beheld the linen wrappings lying there, and the face cloth which had been on his head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. So the other disciple, who had first come to the tomb, entered then also, and he saw and believed. The swoon theory cannot answer the problem of the linen wrappings lying undisturbed, exactly as they had been when around the body of Christ. Christ would have had to perform a miracle of wiggling out of the wrappings, which were wound tightly about the body with over 100 pounds of spices in the wrappings, without someone to help him unwrap himself, as in the case of Lazarus in John 14. John 19, verses 31 to 35. The Jews, therefore, because it was the day of preparation, so that the bodies should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, asked Pilate that their legs might be broken, and that they might be taken away. The soldiers, therefore, came and broke the legs of the first man, and of the man who was crucified with him. But coming to Jesus, when they saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately there came out blood and water. Mark 15, verses 43 to 45. Joseph of Arimathea came, a prominent member of the council, who himself was waiting for the kingdom of God. And he gathered up courage and went in before Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. And Pilate wondered if he was dead by this time. And summoning the centurion, he questioned him as to whether he was already dead. And ascertaining this from the centurion, he granted the body to Joseph. These circumstances proved Christ died. He was dead in the judgment of the soldiers, in the judgment of Pilate, in the judgment of the Jews who requested the guard for the tomb, and in the judgment of the women who went to the tomb to further prepare the body by heaping spices over the body. If Christ had only swooned, he still would have been half dead. A great deal of time would have been needed for recuperation. In his weakened condition, he could not have walked the 7 miles on the Emmaus Road on Sunday. It would have been impossible for someone who had only been resuscitated from the agonies the Lord endured with the beatings and crucifixion to so quickly give the impression that he was the conqueror of death and the grave, the prince of life. In fact, it was this belief which turned the disciples around and became the foundation of the rest of their ministries. isn't the only problem with that theory. There are also other circumstances that need to be explained, like the removal of the stone and the guard over the tomb.
Go ahead and say it isn't me. The day will come when you will see. 'Cause I'll rise again. There's no power on earth can tie me down. Yes, I'll rise again. Death can't keep me in the ground.
The second theory is the hallucination theory. This theory says all of Christ's post-resurrection appearances were really only supposed appearances because actually the people only had hallucinations. In this way, all the post-resurrection appearances can be dismissed. How could so many people have hallucinations, especially 500 at one time? Furthermore, the appearances happened under different conditions and were spread out over different times. And don't forget, the disciples were reluctant to believe in the resurrection in the first place. This involves a miracle of blindness to reason away the resurrection. The hallucination theory is simply not plausible because it contradicts laws and principles which psychiatrists say are essential to hallucinations. Third theory, the impersonation theory. This is the view that the appearances were not really Christ at all, but someone impersonating him. This, the opponents say, is evident because in some cases, they did not recognize him at first, or at all. The disciples were reluctant to believe in the resurrection, were doubtful, and would have been hard to convince unless it was really him, as was the case with Thomas. It would have been impossible to impersonate Christ's wounds. This was Christ's proof to Thomas that it was really him. At times, their inability to recognize him was a phenomenon of his glorified body brought about by his own purposes, as in Luke 24, verse 16, but their eyes were restricted that they should not recognize him. These men had traveled with the Lord for 3 years, and it is incredible that anyone could have gotten away with an impersonation, particularly due to their reluctance to believe. They were meeting in locked chambers in some instances, and he suddenly appeared in his glorified body. No one could impersonate such a miraculous act other than the resurrected Christ.
He's alive, he's alive, he's alive, he's alive, he's alive, and I'm forgiven. Heaven's gates are open wide. He's alive. Heaven's gates are open wide. He's alive.
These are only three of the theories, but there are others. One holds that Christ's resurrection was not a real physical resurrection. Another theory contends the disciples stole the body and claimed that he rose from the dead. Still another claims that the disciples did not know where the tomb was located and could not find the empty grave. There is ample evidence to refute all of these theories and more. Father, thank you for the evidence that Jesus rose from the dead. We can praise you because this resurrection proves him to be the Son of God, the Savior of the world, and the person through whom we can gain eternal life. Help us to believe. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.